Dubai Eye 103.8.
When we talk humanitarian relief, we use a phrase like that. Immediately, a lot of people will come up with mental images of aid drops, helicopters coming in, a lot of support being delivered from benefactory nations the world over. What about... That's all good and well. That's the physical aid coming in to help those who are trying to recover from a natural disaster or a war-ravaged environment. What about the mental health support? What about the scars that continue for longer than the initial shock and scars that are caused? Mental health support can be crucial to help people cope. People seek help for many, many reasons. The agonizing loss of a child in an earthquake, trauma of violence, or surviving a dangerous journey being just a few. We are joined now by an individual who is no stranger to this part of the world. In fact, the last time he was here, he was the regional mental health coordinator for MSF. He returns here on his way through to Iraq as the international mental health coordinator for MSF, a qualified psychiatrist and mental health service developer who works with general community and at-risk populations for MSF. Gregory Crean joins us live in the studio. Greg, thanks so much indeed for taking time to join us here today. Welcome back to Dubai.
Thank you.
Listen, it's great to have you with us. You've worked in, we've worked all over the world, projects in Iraq, the West Bank, Yemen, Syria, Jordan, currently advising and supporting MSF clinical operations internationally, as was mentioned there. Do we underestimate the importance of mental health after the initial shock of a natural disaster or a country, a region that is ravaged by an epidemic or war?
I think increasingly that governments and organizations like MSF are recognizing the importance of looking out for and focusing on mental health as part of any response that we have.
Mm. I mentioned there in that sort of very impromptu sort of entry about the scars of a disaster are the initial pain, they're the initial hurt, but they heal with time as well. Is that what is key about mental health, is the fact that this is something that needs to be worked at for a long period of time and needs to be readdressed throughout?
Look, I think taking a step back from all of that, we try to think about mental health from a kind of a bigger perspective.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of people who have chronic mental health conditions, mm-hmm. and will always have those conditions like schizophrenia and bipolar disorder that we're aware of. And, you know, in contexts of war and humanitarian situations, often health systems collapse. And so those people with those conditions are often quite voiceless. So Meds on Sans Frontières, an organization that, you know, people really see as an organization that is doctors looking after people, also provides that medical expert psychiatric care for people in those situations. And as you say, it's about supporting people returning to normal function who suffered stress and trauma as a result of displacement, of war, of whatever humanitarian crisis they found themselves.
In terms of you and your teams and the teams that you put into these areas around the world, and you mentioned there about the mental health support, the psychosocial support as well, you and your teams can't be there all the time for years and years and years to come, but you can put into place systems per se. Is part of the sort of role to educate others around there to provide that social support, those support groups?
That's a great question, Tom. So MSF do actually stay around for quite a few years.
Yeah.
We've been in the West Bank in Palestine for the last 13 or 14 years. We've been in Iraq for the last 5 or 6 years consecutively delivering the same mental health program. So we do a lot more long-term mental health care than people are aware of. And at the same time, as you say, really important to support the development of community strengths as well. So we do a lot of training, for instance. I'm about to head to a training in Iraq where we'll train people in counseling skills. And so we like to, when we're in a place, we like to think about what the long-term consequence could be of our presence, and training is one of those. And I guess educating communities with communication strategies to reduce or to improve people's sense of the benefit of receiving treatment for stress and mental health conditions.
we focus a lot in our discussion, and I'm sure on a daily basis, about the people that you're giving that support to as well. But what about you and your team as well? You obviously have worked and do work in some very harrowing situations and deal with people who have been through very harrowing personal experiences. Is it a job that sort of gives back to you and your team? Is it something you can take away when you see you making a difference in their lives?
Absolutely. I think it's a real privilege for anyone to work in the humanitarian sector and to be able to and work with people with mental health conditions or stress, and for them to really honor you with their story and give you that trust. And in that setting, you can feel if you have skill and you've got the good training and you have supervision and you're able to support each other in your teams, then you can manage the stories, you can contain the experiences that people share with you and give back in a much more effective way.
Mm. Listening. I know this is something that we talk about a lot here on the show, and the age-old skill of listening seems to be disappearing at the moment. We're very quick to shout, to talk, to offer an opinion as well, be it on social media, be it elsewhere as well. But how many of us actually listen these days? How important is that to your role and your team's roles?
I mean, it's central, really. Your job is to, I guess, be a witness for someone.
Yeah.
And the key part of that is really listening. It's what we do with our friends, you know. When we really care about someone, we really hear them and really understand them. And a good counselor, a good doctor who's listening to someone's story is someone who's really trying to empathize and understand and put themselves in that person's shoes.
Mm.
And honor and respect that person's story and experience. I think there's a lot to learn from that experience, and you know, reminding ourselves what it's like to, you know, be a good friend, to be a good brother or sister or parent. It's really about, you know, being there for that person and really, really hearing what they're saying.
That's part of the role that you mentioned there. So you hit the ground and you listen to the concerns of those that are affected in that area, be it for one reason or another. In terms of sort of taking it forward as well, and everyone wants to come up with a solution, don't they? A solution to the problem. Is there, and I'm assuming there is no quick fix to solutions that you and your teams deal with, but we often hear education as the solution. We often hear employment as the solution. Are they just two sort of foundations for a moving process to try and make lives better in these areas?
Yeah. So I would also say education and jobs are really important, and providing training and supporting ministries of health to create mental health positions in their hierarchies, but also looking at what the strengths of the community are. And one of the things that I really see in the Middle East, in the places where we work, is there's a really strong social fabric, even in places where people have been displaced a lot, like Iraq, that families and communities really stick together. And so, you know, we should be thinking about what are the strengths in those places and how can we support and build on those and give people a sense of the value of those connections.
As you mentioned, you are passing through at the moment. You're no stranger to this part of the world. Dubai has become something of a hub for humanitarian aid here in the region, physical and otherwise. People getting access into different parts of the world. You're heading into Iraq, a country that you've worked in on a number of projects in the past as well. Are you seeing the toils of your and your team's works in areas like Iraq at the moment? Is it having a difference? Is it making a difference?
I think so. In a humble way, yes. I think what I'm really watching is that, you know, with the hard work of training and supervision, we are supporting, you know, in these small ways, the development of a mental health workforce.
Yes.
And identifying, you know, what some of the gaps are and what some of the areas are that MSF and other organizations and ministries can really work on. And I think over the last 5 years, I've definitely seen an increase in that capacity. For instance, Iraq's a really good example. There are very, very few places where you can learn those therapy skills.
Mm.
And you might have a course, but because there's not been a long history of people who are doing counseling and psychology, that organizations like MSF can provide supervision for trained people and increase their capacity over time to be able to work with people in their culture and their community.
We had one of your colleagues in studio a couple of weeks ago. She was here as part of the innovation hub that was taking place here. She'd come in from Barcelona, was talking at the dialogue conference that was taking place a couple of weeks ago. It was interesting, whilst in conversation with her, at the number of people that were texting in, as they are again at the moment in our conversation with you. As soon as you mention humanitarian work, I'm getting people texting in saying, love it, love the conversation. My child is energized by all things humanitarian. They want to get into that field as well. What qualifications they need? How do they get into it? What's the best sort of footpath? Is this evidence, it sort of took me aback last time, is this evidence of the fact that humanitarian work, a career in humanitarian work, is becoming, and I don't want to sort of demean this by sounding silly, but becoming more acceptable, more of a career pathway for a number of people now?
Definitely. I think the Middle East and Dubai in particular is a very good example. Even 5 years ago, when I first started visiting, what we call mental health literacy, the knowledge of the community about mental health was really not as strong as it is now.
Yeah.
And now we get more and more questions like your listeners who are interested in mental health, who are interested in humanitarian work, and who are hearing the stories of what humanitarian organizations like MSF are doing. And they're seeing the benefit, like I've seen the benefit as well. And I think, you know, it's about, if you see someone doing something and it's making a difference, you can imagine that you could do that yourself.
Mm. What is your advice to youngsters out there, those looking to get into the field at the moment? Do they need to have mental health qualifications to be part of your team?
Well, the part of the mental health team, sure, but there's lots of other teams as well. We obviously have surgeons, doctors, nurses, logisticians, people who are expert in communications, HR, finance. So there are lots of different career options. And in fact, I would say to listeners, you know, you should go out there and do what you're passionate about. And almost certainly there's going to be an option within your career pathway and your passion in the humanitarian sector as well.
Quick one from me as well, because again, something that we do a lot here on the agenda is we rely on research. And I know that's something that mental health is very good at looking at research over a long period of time. Is the research that mental health in general, but specifically MSF mental health, is that helping to impact and to influence clinical impacts in disaster areas and other areas?
That's a great question. We're really trying to work on that. So we try to think about when we're doing something, what interventions have the most evidence and what are going to be useful and what are also culturally appropriate as well. So you want to be able to introduce something that has good evidence. And if you don't have it, then build the evidence. Mm. So we certainly try things. The training I'm doing, it's called Problem Management Plus. It's a program, a counseling education program developed by WHO, and it's been tested in the Middle East. So we know that it works in certain fields, and we're expanding and testing that still. And so always looking at ways to improve, measuring what we're doing, reflecting on what we're doing. So research, really important, reflective practice.
Today is World Diabetes Day. It's an opportunity for the world to reflect on diabetes, the effect that that's having on patients the world over. World Mental Health Day has also established itself as a clarion call, 24 hours where the world comes together to shine a light of awareness as well. Are we becoming better versed, do you think, through awareness days such as this? Or is there too much focus media-wise on just one day and disregarding the rest of the year?
I had exactly this conversation with one of my colleagues recently about World Mental Health Day, and I saw all the communications that other organizations were doing, and I was exhausted just reading them. And I had the same thoughts. I was wondering, are there other ways of doing this? You know, I think World Mental Health Day is great. You know, it can inspire, you know, it's a focus. You know, we also live good mental health in our day-to-day. So lots of opportunities for us to think about that in our workplaces, for instance, you know, at school, at university, in our families.
It's been an absolute pleasure having you here in studio. I really appreciate it because I know that you're on a really tight schedule as well. All the best over in Iraq, catching up with the programs that you've got in place there and the training that you're going to be conducting. And do stop off for a coffee next time you're back in town. But for now, and just actually before I let you go, if people are interested to find out more about the work that you do, the work that MSF do in the mental health field, what's the best way for them to get more information to that end?
So we have a really good website. There's one even in the Emirates as well. So whatever region you're in.
MSF.org, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so go onto there. Just have a search for mental health and, of course, all the other.
Follow us on Twitter.
Twitter as well.
Yep.
Social media.
Facebook,
can't
exactly,
get away from that,
usual.
Can we? Really appreciate your time. Thank you very much indeed for joining us live here in the studio. Gregory Keane there, talking MSF. And, of course, the importance of mental health. If you'd like to listen back to that one, you can now. It's available on podcast. Just go to dubaii1038.com to find out more.
This is Dubai I 103.8.